The first thing I do at the beginning of each and every month is visit astrologyzone.com to read my beautifully crafted monthly horoscope by none other than Susan Miller. Susan, thank you so much for being here this evening.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be on your show.
Oh, your last appearance on Breaking Through last year, record-breaking.
Record-breaking.
Everybody loves you.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I just write, you know, I have my head in the computer so much. I don't even think about, wow.
You have a huge
following. So great. Thank you.
I was just pleased. Everybody, you know, I always like knowing people see in my guests what I see in them, and it's obvious just how popular you are. And obviously the insight you have to offer, especially, I read your book, Planets and Possibilities. I have to bring that up.
Favorite book.
Love that book. That should be a textbook almost. You know, I think it should be a textbook. Anyone that wants to know anything about astrology needs that book.
I even learned a lot writing it. It took me 3.5 years to write it, and I learned so much. You know, especially in the front, the roadmap that sort of helps people. It's kind of in a question-answer format to make it really, really easy. And I never use, you know, what I call astrobabble, like hard words and that people don't understand. It's all very clear. And then I also give the myths of each of the signs besides just normal, wonderful traits about each sign that are little known. I tried to find ones that people didn't know necessarily, you know, didn't want to repeat what other people had done, you know, wanted to add to the knowledge. So that's what took longer.
Well, I have to tell you, especially when it came to learning about the age of Aquarius, I mean, I referred to your book.
Thank you.
And I had some interviews shortly thereafter that I did, and had I not read your book, I would not have been prepared for them at all.
it's millenniums long. It's a very long phase, and we're leaving the age of Pisces. People disagree about when the age of Aquarius started. Some people say it hasn't even begun yet, but I felt it began the minute Sputnik went in the air.
Ah.
I think that was it. That was a defining moment, but, you know, there are some people who think that it's another 100 years away. Others think we're in it now. I definitely think we're in it now. Aquarius rules all digital media. It rules networking and communities and linking people together and humanitarian concerns. And I think we're definitely in it now. So,
and not because I'm a woman, but doesn't the age of Aquarius kind of trigger women really coming front and center?
Well, all groups that have been subservient, sort of, you know, not really having much say is covered by Aquarius. It's all groups that have been downtrodden or overlooked or need more support, you know, and, you know, certainly Black Americans feel that way.
Diversity.
You know, and they're coming into their own. It's so wonderful. You know, it's great to see. We're only strong if we're all strong. You know, if every single link is strong, then we're all strong. So I'm really happy by, you know, how things are going, you know, not with the stock market, but, but in terms of people's awareness and how we're all pulling together. I think, actually, sometimes it takes something bad, like the stock market, to have us all pull together.
Right.
You know, as one. Because this country's been very fractured recently. You know, it's been a 50-50 kind of vote all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one for one side, one for the other. And that is disturbing. You know, I was hoping that we would start showing, you know, a kind of movement toward one or the other side.
Growth of some kind, right?
Yeah, now, with Obama, it was a clear victory.
Yes, definitely.
It wasn't like we were counting all the votes and looking in backs of cars to find more votes.
Right. Yeah. Hanging chads.
Drunk. You know, I never thought they were transported that way. My God.
Exactly.
So we all found out a lot of things that we were kind of horrified to hear.
I can't remember the last time we weren't able to, we had to go to bed and wake up to
see
who won our election.
Yeah, we got so used to that when they announced it the same night, we're like, wait, what happened? It's already, they know already, you know?
Yeah,
we got so conditioned, yeah.
We did. How many elections we had to wake up the next morning? Okay, who's the winner now?
Well, you know, on the day of the United States election, we had a very big aspect that all the astrologers were watching, Saturn opposition Uranus.
Wow.
And it will happen on February 5th again, and on September 15th again, and then two more times in 2010. It ends, I don't remember the first time in 2010, but certainly July 26, 2010. So we have a year and a half of these two planets having a discussion with each other. And when you have 180-degree kind of opposition, each side presents its case, so to speak, and Saturn is the planet of the old guard and establishment. It's all things of value from the past that you want to keep. And it also rules the structure of the human body. It rules the bones that hold you up. It rules the steel in a building that if you took away all the bricks and all the walls, you'd see the structure. Mm-hmm. It's even the hierarchy in a company that, you know, when someone decides all the departments and who's going to report to who, that also is ruled by Saturn. So Saturn is structure and establishment. So then you have the other guy, Uranus, who is the rebel rouser. He is the one who storms the gate, who smashes the icons, the iconoclasts. He's the one that sweeps out anything that he deems irrelevant and that helps you replace with something newer and more relevant for the future. So here you had literally the past and the future meeting toe-to-toe on the evening of Election Day. And everybody was a little like, whoa, what's this going to bring? Because we haven't had this aspect since 1965 to 1968.
Wow.
You know, when you have these, this one aspect goes back and forth and keeps meeting each other, and then they spin their different orbits, and then they don't meet again for, like, 40 years, you know. And so we had it on Election Day, and look at that. We broke the kind of chain of the type of president we've always elected. You always had to be white, Anglo-Saxon Protestant, except for John F. Kennedy, who was a Catholic, but he was the only aberration to that. And now we've had another change, you know, with our first black American, and, you know, kind of exciting to have a new, you know, new template forming.
Exactly. And you know what's very ironic about Barack Obama's his election is going to, or his inauguration is going to be with Martin Luther King. Everything having to do with him has to do with Martin Luther King. It's like an anniversary or some kind of milestone having to do with Martin Luther King. And I found that really intriguing.
Yeah, Martin Luther King died on April 1st, 1969, I think it was, or 68, something like that. And the aspects were very similar because Saturn was opposition Uranus again then. And what's interesting is Saturn's in Virgo now, and it was in Pisces the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And Uranus is in Pisces now, and it was in Virgo the last time. So literally, they both changed signs. They took the other sign. They went, you know, it was literally 6 months, you know, because from Virgo to Pisces is 6 months, so you have the opposite sign in both the same players here, mm-hmm. Saturn and Uranus. So it's really interesting. So we're going to have more changes. This isn't the only change. I also see a lot of doors closing in 2009, and I hate endings, so of course everyone's anxiety immediately goes up, including mine, but no, they shouldn't feel that way, though. Some things run their course, and it's now time to close the chapter and start a brand new one.
Well, there are some chapters I'd like to see closed.
We all have it, even in our own life, you know. And there were going to be six eclipses in 2009. Now, we always have four, and they always come as little twins. And that's because they come as a full moon and a new moon, or vice versa. And the last set we had was last summer on August 1st, which was right near Barack Obama's birthday. He's born August 4th. So if you have an eclipse near your birthday, your whole life's going to be different, very different than the past. What's interesting is John McCain had an eclipse a year earlier on his birthday. So he didn't expect to be the nominee, and his whole year was different than he expected. He was all over the United States, and it was a very strenuous campaign. He was in state after state after state. He had a very different life than he even expected he would. And then, though, because the eclipse was a year before the election, then it closed down. That year was over, and then Obama had an eclipse just recently. So it starts his new year. So it's interesting, though, isn't it?
Very interesting.
So anyway, these eclipses are the harbingers of change. If you wanted to look at the real changes in any year, you have to look at the eclipses first, because they're the ones that make us rip up our timetables. You know, let's say you have a couple, and like, oh, we're going to get married. This is going to be great. But we're going to, you know, these serious types, we're going to save for a house, and it's going to take us 3 years. Oh, you know, oh, my goodness, these poor kids. I mean, they've taken kind of the spontaneity out of it.
Right.
They're saving away, and they're, you know, on their little treadmills trying to save. And then they're a year into it, and then the man or the woman gets a promotion, and their company says, hey, we're going to send you to Hong Kong. Let's say it's the guy. He comes home and says, marry me this week. I have to transfer over there, and I'm going to be there 5 years. Marry me, and we're going to have an adventure. We're going to live in Hong Kong together in the beginning of our marriage. And of course, she's going to want to do that, and of course they're going to do that. And so they rip up their plans, and they move over there. You know, so you can't plan for everything in life. And the eclipses really make you flexible, because they bring opportunity. They also bring endings, because they bring truth. Sometimes we had a certain impression of a friend or someone we were dating, and then we get some truth, and that changes the whole complexion of our relationship, and we need to integrate that into it. And sometimes we find out our sweetheart loved us more than we ever thought, and sometimes we find out maybe not so much at all, and that this person's been seeing other people. So, you know, you get all kinds of information on eclipses, but it's always information that you need to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So our first eclipse is, the first one is a nice one. It's a new moon eclipse, so it's a new beginning. And it's January 26th, right near the inauguration.
Wonderful.
And then there's a full moon eclipse. That one's in Aquarius. And then there's a full moon eclipse on February 9th, and that one's in Leo. And then the next one is July 7th in Cancer. It's in Capricorn, and that's a full moon, I believe. And then there's a new moon eclipse in Cancer on July 22nd. And then a full moon eclipse August 5th in Aquarius. And then there's another one on New Year's Eve. That always is a little disturbing to me, because people party and they sometimes drive when they shouldn't, and eclipses can bring on danger. So I hope everybody, next New Year's Eve, not this New Year's Eve, gives a party at home or has a limo waiting for them. It's worth the money, so they don't have to drive, or stay in a little bed and breakfast near the, you know, where you're within walking distance of where the party is, and you know, just make it very safe. That one's going to be in Cancer on New Year's Eve, right before 2010. So that's a year and a few months away. So
wow.
A year and a month.
So a lot of activity then.
So those are big moments. And if you're a Cancer, Capricorn, a Leo, or an Aquarius, you're going to have big changes. But you know what? You're going to have big changes anyway, because you have those planets in those signs in your chart somewhere.
Right.
And so this is a big year for changes. And full moon eclipses end things. So it's no more of this waiting and waiting and waiting. Like, you know, many times we feel like we're on, almost like on a hold pattern, because we're waiting for an answer, whether it's a court decision or, you know, we're trying to settle an issue with someone, or a plan, or get the green light, and things keep delaying. It's very frustrating. I think this year is going to be very definitive.
Yes.
You'll know where you stand, and that's good. You know, then you can move forward and plan accordingly.
Well, with everything going on in our government, in our mm-hmm. country right now, it's very interesting, because I think we're learning a lot from the events, being that, okay,
yes.
We're not going to let these people continue to drive us where we're going, because they obviously weren't doing a great job before.
Well, if you've read astrology, then I was a little worried about the full moon on December 12th. I look at these full moons and new moons every single month, and the one of the roughest ones I had seen was September 15th. And I knew it was coming, because it involved Uranus and Saturn in very harsh ways. And I knew that on Friday, the Friday before the full moon, because that fell on a Monday, September 15th was a Monday, so that means the 12th was a Friday, and I said, you'll already start to feel the currents changing, and you'll start to worry, and the whole weekend will be a little tense, and then on Monday the final decision will probably come down, or within 3 days of that date. And that was when Lehman Brothers started drowning and saying, help me, help me, help me. And everybody kind of turned their backs on Lehman Brothers. And so they, I think Barclays got involved somehow, but I'm not really clear on how they got involved. They bought some of the company. I don't know exactly how much of it they bought. But that was a very tough time, because right after that full moon, I read in the paper that 19 banks failed right after that. It was like the unraveling of the sweater. And it was a shock to all of us, because I don't think any of us thought that banks could fail in this day and age in America. No. I mean, it just didn't happen, you know. And
everything is insured. FDIC this, FDIC.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, and then I, you know, we all are probably watching much more financial shows, which I think is really good. I'm watching CNBC all the time, because I used to think that that station was more for people who were in the business. It's not. It's for us. It's for normal people.
Yeah.
And you get all the little backstories and the very interesting, you know, information. They said that, you know, when Lehman Brothers was failing, the big guy banks were saying, you know, we have a nice little club here, and we don't want to have so many people in the club, so let's shut those people out. It was like, oh my goodness, it was like that. So anyway, I kept saying to myself, why was that full moon so strong? It felt like an eclipse. I'm missing something here. And then all of a sudden I realized we had an eclipse this summer on August 16th in Leo. In the United States chart, that is the house of banks, loans, mortgages, other people's money. And it fell in that house. And I often write in my column on astrologyzone.com that sometimes an eclipse will assert its message 1 month to the day later, plus or minus 3 days. So if nothing's really happening around the eclipse, you have to watch a month to the day later. There it is, right on time. The universe runs on time. It's like a train station. It's perfect, perfect. You know, so that was the eclipse. So then I thought, okay, we've had our big shock. There's nothing else. And I'm starting to write December, and my office manager is walking around. She's getting coffee, and she's looking at me sitting on the couch, and she's like, what? Why are you looking the way you're looking? And I'm like, Deborah, I am looking at a perfect storm on December 12th. I have never seen such a wicked full moon. This one's even worse than September 15th. This one's awful. All the mutable signs are locking in at between 18 and 22 degrees. The full moon is 21 degrees. It's a full moon in Gemini, 21 degrees, which will highlight anybody born in the middle of June, around June 15th.
Yay, that would be me.
A little.
June 18th.
It also affects Pisces, Virgo, and Sagittarius. Pisces born around the 11th, but plus or minus 5 days, and, you know, September 15th, and my website's born December 14th, and that's the day. So I looked up Ford's birthday and GM's birthday, and the most beleaguered sign right now is either Pisces or Virgo, because they're dealing with Saturn, such heavy stuff. GM is Virgo, born September 16th, and Ford is Gemini, born June 16th. And they're in Washington looking for money now, right on the cusp of this horror of a full moon. So I don't think they're going to get what they want. What I think is going to happen is the government might help them, but they're going to say, hey, move over, I'm driving the truck now. You can sit shotgun, but we're going to go where I decide we're going to go, because I'm your new partner, and I'm the United States government, and I'm going to run this whole show. And they're going to wish they were never born.
Oh my goodness.
Later, they're going to wish they had just gone out of business. I'm telling you, it's going to be that rough. When you have the government as a partner, they don't negotiate, they tell you.
Exactly.
You know, it's that way. It's because you have to be patriotic. You have to run it that way, you know. I mean, if you've ever been a job with the government, after a while you begin wondering, why am I doing this? I'm not making any money. And they remind you, you're being patriotic. You know, I used to be in the photography business, in case people are wondering. And it's always a three-way bid. And you could lose the job over, like, $5. If someone had a bid that just came in just that much lower. And so you always tried to squeeze your prices down as far as you could until, you know, you were usually at the place where I'm doing this for the honor, you know. And and I guess that's the way it should be. You know, you'd bid jobs for the post office or for ads for the Marines or whatever it is. But so this is going to be interesting to watch, but I think that they're not going to like the answer because I don't think Congress likes the way the union... I know the union gave up some critical demands, but I think the government's going to want much more than that. And
well, I don't think they see an end in sight.
Don't see an end in sight, and it's a really tough... It's a tough problem because the poor people are going to lose.
Right.
It's the small workers that are going to lose. And Michigan is just, it's already at a high. You can go on CNNmoney.com and look at every state and see where your state is for unemployment.
Right.
And one of the higher ones are like Alaska and Michigan. And it ranges from 3% to 8%.
Mm.
And that's before the new figures came out.
Yeah,
so
the national average, I think, is 6.7 as of
today.
Yeah,
that's huge. That was like today.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were mentioning that. Yeah, it's very high.
But to think of one state having, what, 8%?
Yeah, and it's going up. New York is 5.7. I remember seeing that today where I live. But I think the December 12th full moon will cause companies to fire people. Some don't even need to. They're doing it in anticipation or fright of what could come because of the frenzy that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that they want to show their boards of directors that we've done the right thing, you know, but I don't know if it's necessarily the right thing. We can always rehire. Well, it's not going to be the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And people's lives get very, very... Oh, I've seen it. It's very hard when you lose your job.
Well, and these companies are probably thinking nest egg, too. I mean, even if they were surviving now, they're probably thinking, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, so we better save some capital, you know, save some cash.
And lower credit cards and stuff like that. And it is a time that it's uncertain, but I do believe that the stocks are too low now. They were too high before. Now they're too low. Barbara Corcoran said something on TV that I found very interesting. She's great. She's on the Today Show a lot.
Yeah, real estate, right?
That the Congress is addressing the 40% of the housing crisis that were insured, but the people who bought houses that were uninsured are not even being discussed, and that's 60% of the market, and they're not even touching that yet.
Mm.
And until that gets addressed, we're not going to find a solution. And I thought, oh my gosh, that was a light bulb going over my head. I'm like, whoa. And maybe I quoted her incorrectly, but I'm sure there's some place you can go online and look at Barbara Corcoran's remarks. And she's wonderful. I know her. I've had lunch with her. She's brilliant. And then I started looking in the United States chart. The United States chart is going to have Saturn in the house of home and mortgages and all that stuff until 2012. So I don't think we're quite out of the hole until 2012. That doesn't mean we're in misery the whole time. I'm sure brick by brick we're coming, you know, the light starts coming sooner or later. But
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, you know, because at least here in New York, I know that they have to cut so much, and they're putting tolls on all the bridges and everything, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure until this unemployment gets stabilized...
I don't think they even know what to do at this point because it's global. The old formula was always go back to foreign investment and have them perk up the economy. And it was always very expensive for Americans to travel because of that whole dollar nightmare. It was hard for us to go anywhere, but... If you were in New York and you walked into Tiffany's, it was like a fire sale. You saw every nationality buying everything in sight because it was half off their dollar. I don't blame them. They were getting some beautiful things half off, you know, because their dollar was buying so much. But we couldn't go anywhere. But it was kind of pumping up our economy in a kind of strange way. But now that their money has fallen... we don't have anywhere to go to artificially pump it up anymore. We have to do it the old-fashioned way.
Right.
To be more productive.
And where
you know, there are some good things on the horizon. Jupiter's going into Aquarius, and the whole green movement is going to create jobs. We're going to be making windmills and new housing and all kinds of new roofing and solar panels. And this is all new. all new, and there'll be tax cuts for hotels and developers who use the green mm-hmm. products, so that'll stimulate things. We really laid the foundation this year with Jupiter in Capricorn, because movements don't take place in a capitalistic society until we figure out how to pay for them. Mm. And this will be the savior to our economy. And new technology is going to be fantastic this year. It's going to go very far. So I think we'll be able to develop a car, even though they said, oh, it's like 10 years away. Now that we need it, it's going to be really fast. You know, that whole timetable's getting shortened.
Right.
But really, mark my words. So we're going to have lots of new options, and it's going to be really exciting. And all year, Jupiter is traveling with Neptune. You know, in the depths of all this despair and darkness and bad news, you have this beautiful, sunny, gorgeous aspect. Jupiter, the giver of gifts and luck, traveling really, really close to Neptune from May to December. And they're like little Bobsy twins. They're arm in arm. And Neptune is the planet of the arts, of poetry, of music, of dance, of painting and theater, of great literature. You're going to see a resurgence of the arts, and in such a new way, because they're going to be traveling in Aquarius, which is the digital sign. So it's all that new art that you might go to the Whitney Museum or the equivalent in other cities. I don't know what they would be, but, you know, the modern part where it's really thrilling and it's digital and it's different and it's like nothing you've ever experienced. And you're going to see big breakthroughs in the arts, and it's going to make us happy. I guess sometimes we have to be a little sad to create great music or art. You know,
it's funny, when I talked to my dad about what it was like in the Depression, I mean, they went to movies for a nickel, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they could see about 7 or 8 movies for that nickel. You know, they're all
there. I think people now have, because of the changeover with digital on February 17th, a lot of people have been buying new TVs for their homes, so they'll be able to see TV on a big screen. Mm-hmm. And I think people will still go to the movies, because you really need to get out of the house, you know, at least right. Women do. I find that if I'm watching a movie at home, I want to start vacuum cleaning them stuff. I mean, I can't sit still. I have to literally put me in a dark theater. I think this is a girl thing. I think men can be perfectly happy sitting on a couch, but we tend to see things that need to be done. But, my moon in Virgo, you know, I can't help it. But I think people will go to the movies, although my daughter who works in Hollywood tells me that the blockbuster movies are still being made, but the smaller, more independents are not. Mm-hmm. You know, that there is a cutback, but it's the lower end of the totem pole. The new and untried and more experimental is having a harder time getting funded.
Exactly. Well, and it's understandable, too.
Yeah,
they want a sure thing.
We're going more safe, yeah. But hopefully it won't be for too long. But there's certain things that are recession-proof. Mm-hmm. And my mother even said to me, you know, we all go back to our parents.
Isn't it wonderful?
Talk to me about the Depression. And my mother saying it was like this. You know, when they were going through the Depression, they didn't say on the news, they didn't have a graphic that said, more news on the Great Depression. They didn't call it the Depression. They didn't call it the Depression until years and years later. They just thought it was bad, but they didn't have a name for it.
Yeah, no. We coined the phrase.
I found that interesting. I didn't know that. It was on the news lately.
Right.
But anyway, she said, yeah, I mean, it was a lot like this, Susie. It was, it was very similar. Never thought I'd see it again. But see, those old-timers, and I encourage everybody to go back and talk to their parents, because it's so, so enlightening.
Yes.
It changed that whole generation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if your parents are the same way, but my mom was so conservative about spending and would, you know, always clip out coupons and always be very, you know, wise in the way she spent her money.
Oh, here too.
Yeah, you know, because it was severe. I mean, people were hungry. And,
exactly.
You know, jobs were hard to find.
Well, there's expressions that I heard growing up, like, are you feeling sorry for the power company? You know, shut your lights.
My mother would always say, turn off the lights. What I find interesting is my mom is 89, and she came to my house last year, and she found a soda plastic bottle in my garbage, and she picked it up, and she said, don't you love the earth, Susan?
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, little mom, why did I do that? Oh, my gosh, I'm pretty good about recycling. And I felt so bad. She's so modern. My mother always, always surprises me in how modern she is. And she said, you must recycle. We need to love the earth. And the way she said it, you know, it's so touching.
She
my
really
mother's
is.
Always inspired me. She taught me astrology.
Yes, I read that in your book.
Well, I was born with a birth defect that they couldn't figure out, and it gave me terrible, terrible pain when I would have attacks in my leg. It would feel like something thick was falling into the knee, but it was excruciating, and I'd have to go to bed and not move an inch in the bed. She would change the sheets the way they do in the hospital, like inch by inch under you and pull the new sheet under you, you know, while you were still in the bed. I couldn't move. I couldn't stand vibrations near the bed. I was in agony. They later found out I was bleeding internally at a horrific rate and that my veins would just vanish under pressure, whether it was a growth spurt that I had just grown a lot or if I was excited for Santa Claus or Easter Bunny. Anything would trigger it, but I would only get one or two attacks a year, but each one would last 6 weeks. It was always 6 weeks.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I would sit in bed, and yeah, but with the last one, she always said to me, you know, all the doctors had different ideas. Some said radiation, let's do this, let's do that, and I'd look at my mother, and we'd say, that doesn't sound right. So she'd say, wait, it's got to sound right. We have to really love the doctor. And when I was 14, she said I would, you know, it would go away, that it would somehow go away. I would never be, you know, troubled again. And when I was 13, 11 months, I was stirring fudge on the stove. I was making her some fudge as a surprise. I was 13 and 11 months years old, and I felt it fall in. I'm like, oh, no, I have an attack. Mm-hmm. And my mom was in my father's store downstairs, so I went to bed, put the pillow under my knee, because if you didn't, you knew the knee would lock shut and it would take longer. I just knew there was some kind of liquid in there, and they went in and I couldn't get out. I was in the hospital 11 months. And
in the hospital
11
months?
As a patient,
wow.
Straight. Skin grafts, more operations. And when you have circulatory stuff, they put you on a table when you start to get better, and then they gradually tilt the table little by little by little. Like, you can't go upright right away. You have to keep going downstairs to therapy to get the table to tilt more, and then you go on parallel bars, and you have a brace on your leg because they severed the nerve by accident during the surgery because I couldn't see what they were doing. Mm-hmm. So I lost all feeling and control from the knee down, and I had a dropped foot. And they said, well, we're going to bring that back because we reattached it, but we have to work on the circulatory system first. And so every time you get to the parallel bars and maybe learn how to walk a little bit on those, and then you take a few steps, like, oh, so slow, then you'd have another operation back on that tilting table again. And finally, I got to go home, and it's not such a happy day. If you have any relatives going home from the hospital after a long stay, everybody's so happy. Oh, you're going home. Oh, you're so happy. You feel so washed up on the beach, like you've been battered against the rocks. Now you're home. Your leg is on the couch, and you can't walk very well. You're on crutches. And everyone's telling you congratulations, and you're remembering that the last time you left your house, you were in far, far better shape than you are now, and you don't know how long it's going to be until you're normal again. So you're not that happy.
Right.
And you're hoping someone will sympathize with your plight, you know, and most people don't. So I just mentioned that it's not a happy day when you come home from the hospital, because in the hospital you have millions of people to help you. At home, you're on your own, you know.
Right.
That's when you're face-to-face with how much you've lost. It's even hard to think about, because I've gone through that a few times. I've had so many big surgeries. And my doctor said, forget about high school. You're going to go to the hospital every day for 3 hours a day. You're going to be in the pool and on the electrodes. And we're going to regenerate that nerve, and we have to teach your brain to find it. And they did. I walk.
Wow.
But at the time, I didn't know if it was going to work, because I had to give up high school, and then I went to college. The Board of Ed works with kids like this, you know. Mm-hmm. They send a teacher to your house once a week for 1 hour for English and 1 hour for math. But I asked for 2 hours of math, because I could do English on my own.
Right.
And you take your SATs, you take your Regents exams for New York State, you take all the tests at home. and with a teacher, the lady with the bun and the watch, and then you go to college.
Wow.
I did.
It's amazing with all that the studying you did at home. It's amazing that
That's what got me into astrology, though. I wanted to know if all this was going to have a happy ending. I wanted to wear high heels. I wanted to go to a prom. I wanted a normal life. You know, was that going to happen to me? And my mom didn't want to teach me astrology. She kept saying no. I'm like, no, you know astrology. You're a scholar. She took a correspondence course, and she did for 7 years. Everything my mother does, she does intensely. We never had people over the house. She never read for anyone outside the family. It was always a secret. She said, this is not an understood science, Susan. You must not tell other people. They will not understand. This is not accepted. People don't know why it works, so you must not tell anyone that you know it, but I'm not even teaching you. But finally, she relented, because I wrote to Horoscope Magazine, and they published my letter, and she really wanted to know more. You know, I said, will I ever walk again? It's just like, why did you write to them? Why didn't you ask me? I said, I always ask you, and you always say, yes, yes, yes. I'm Planet Mom. There are no dark days. It's always happy. I have the happiest family on the planet. That's why I'm that way. I said, Mom, Mommy, you're always so happy. You would never say no. No, not you. Needed a second opinion. She laughed and hugged me. Oh, my gosh. I'm so close to my mother. I love her so much. So, you know. She did finally teach me. She said, well, you have to study with me 12 years or I'm not even going to teach you. And you're only, at that point, I was 15. She said, you're only 15. You don't even know what 12 years are. But I live home. I can't even walk. I'm on crutches and a brace, you know, which I was later to throw away. But I said, I can't go anywhere. And I was a two-story walk-up, so we were in a brownstone. So I said, I'm not going to run away and see my friends. I mean, I don't have any friends. My friends are sick of me being sick. I was always happy doing crafts. I was always happy alone. I was not one of these kids that needed friends. I was always happy by myself. So my sister was very social. She's a little Libra. She was always out with her friends, but I just wasn't like that. So I was the perfect kid to get sick. God picked me, you know. Like, she was happy in bed, you know. So I was. I was always happy with whatever I was doing. You know, a little bookworm I like to read.
At what point was it that you realized that you had a passion for astrology? I mean, did you
know
immediately?
Well, my sister would get me the books and put them under the dust ruffle of my bed so my mom wouldn't see I was reading all her books. But when the letter got published, I said, now this lady is so optimistic in this magazine, and I can't even understand the term she's using. Now I want to double check what she's saying, and I can't because I don't understand what she's saying. It's too technical, and I need to learn the technical. So she says, you now want to check the lady, the editor. I said, yes. She said, all right. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Okay. That was my beginning. But I want people to know that I was motivated for a very good reason. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, I have a business idea. I'm going to get into astrology. I'm going to have a big site. It's not like that. When I started my site, I wanted to do for other people what my mother did for me. My mother always gave me hope. I had so much physical pain, and my mother would look at me, and she's always so philosophical. She said, Susan, all pain ends. I'll never forget her saying that. I said, are you sure? She said, look, everything ends. The good ends and the bad ends. Then a new cycle forms, but everything ends. Your pain will definitely end. I hung on that like with two hands, you know.
But that's so true, you know, and it's so profound.
She was right. She was always right about everything, you know. I'm so lucky, because if you looked at me, you wouldn't know I went through all that, you know. I'm so lucky. So many people don't have that. I mean,
support, right.
I mean, gosh, we always, always, always have to realize that there's so much worse that could happen to you, and that you have to give back. You have to help other people.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why I never wanted to charge for my site. Oh, I'd go into these meetings with these MBAs, and look, I have a business degree. I graduated with honors, but they don't see that. They just see the astrologer sitting there, and they think, oh, darling, did you know you could charge for your site? I'm like, oh, really? Well, and I'd stand up and I'd say, this meeting is over now. How did I not know that myself? I knew that a long time ago. I don't want to charge for my site. Oh, they'd say cut up the information in little packets. Oh, such depressing meetings. I'm like, no. They'll say, oh, you could make money, you could do this. Well, if that's what I have to do, I don't want it. Goodbye. I want to give this to my readers. I write 100 pages a month divided by 12 signs on astrologyzone.com every single month, and I'm going to be 13 years old on December 12th.
Gosh. And you've written for every...
14th, I'm sorry, December 14th.
You've
I've written columns for
every magazine.
I was with Self Magazine for 9 years, and then with In Style for 4. And they just recently, the new editor says, we don't want astrology. I had a spread. I was so sad to leave In Style because it's a beautiful magazine. And I wrote for McCall's for 5 years until Rosie took it over and changed the content. And I was with Cosmo Girl, which recently died. I was there 4 years, loving writing for teenagers. Because remember, I never went to high school, so I got to make believe I was in high school. My head.
Yeah.
Like a virtual 4 years. It was so much fun.
Oh.
I could talk about text messaging and iPods, and I could just be a teenager. It was fun.
Yeah.
So God is so wise, you know. He's like, okay, I'm going to send you to high school now. You're going to write for Cosmo Girl. It just recently closed. I write for Vogue Japan, W Korea, Bravo Girl in Germany, Cosmopolitan Brazil. Those two I don't write regularly. Vogue Japan, I'm in every single month. I just finished a 24-page story for their cover.
Wow.
24 pages.
You're such a great
never get
great
this in America.
Writer.
Bless their hearts. I love them. And W Korea. Yeah, they outside the U.S., you get multiple pages. You get a big presence because those cultures understand astrology and what it could do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, but Astrology Zone, I write 100 pages a month. It takes me 7 hours to write each sign, so I can only write two a day. And now I'm on the iPhone, which is by Apple. I'm on Sprint, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. I'm on all of them with Astrology Zone Premiere. And I'm on the spoken word. Like, let's say, oh, I can't read your 8 pages because it's 100 pages divided by 12 signs. It's about 8 pages per sign. So people listen to someone read it to them in their iPod or right on their computer. It can just talk to you right through the computer through audible.com. And iTunes also sells it, too. It's a little easier to find on audible.com. And you just put in Astrology Zone or Susan Miller. And I also have little articles like How to Seduce Your Lover, really cute things.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to do the year ahead together. I love my partners. Oh, and I just came out with my new calendar for the wall.
Yes.
This is my 5th year in a row. I commissioned the artwork from Tracy Turner, and she paints these beautiful paintings to my direction because it has to sum up the sign. And then in the calendar part, what I call the tic-tac-toe board where the numbers are on the calendar, I write which days are important and why, and you're supposed to use it in conjunction with Astrology Zone because I'll tell you exactly how it's going to affect you. Those are only $15, and if you order it by December 7th, which is Pearl Harbor Day, which is almost in 2 days, you can get it, you know, by Christmas. But it's nice to have anyway. And we give you 13 months, so we give you January 2010, in case you forget to
And it is a beautiful calendar. I saw it on the site.
Oh, you saw it?
Yes.
Stunning. It's $15. We tried to keep the price down, but we pay a fortune for the art, and I insist on really heavy paper. And my partner is a saint because he puts up with me. This is Arthur Haydendahl, who used to be the director of Time Life Books, is my business partner on the calendar. And on all my print-on-demand books, which are my personal horoscope, which you can get a book written all about you for $49.95.
I noticed that. There's a personalized relationship book, I guess.
Yes, you and your boyfriend or girlfriend, yeah. And we even have one for gays. Because we didn't, you know what, when I was little, I used to have to stand on the side where all the bad kids were, and they said, no, you can't be in the school play, you can't be in the Mapo dance, you can't be in anything, you have to stand over there. I never want anybody to feel left out in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, if a couple is gay and they're in love, then they can get a book too. You know, nobody's left out.
That's wonderful.
So, we have the adult book, which is about you, your chart, just you. We have one for babies. So if you have a friend with a newborn baby, it's all the talents. One of our friends is Drea from The Sopranos, Drea DiMatteo, yeah. And she had Little Alabama. And my daughter is like best friends with Drea, so we've made a book up for Little Alabama. This baby is so cute. I'm going to kidnap her, I swear. She's so cute. And Drea puts all these little hats on her. And when I sent it down there, Chrissy said she started to cry when she read it. And that it was so touching. That made me happy that she really liked it. She was tears of joy. All the sweet qualities of Little Alabama, how creative she's going to be. And we talk about the mother and father in the book. So for $49.95, and this covers your child's life. This is the chart for life. This is never going to change. You only have to buy it once.
Oh,
yeah, and your adult book for you, your chart, once. You only buy it once. So we try to make it affordable, you know. So we try to keep the price so low, just to make it.
That's incredibly affordable, considering it's personalized. I mean,
and there's all illustration all the way through it. And I'm so picky. I used to be agent for commercial photographers. I was one of the top 10 in the country for 16 years. That's how I got my website. Time Warner knew I knew horoscopes because I would say thank you to the creatives when they would give me a large job, and then every year on their birthday, I'd say, oh, come on, let's go have lunch, let's do your chart. I never charged them. And one lady up there was married to the Saatchi & Saatchi creative director. We were shooting Cheerios. They said, oh, my wife would love you. I said, I would love your wife. What does she do? She's in charge of Warner Books. I'm like, oh, I love books. I'm going to go up there. Oh, I've become best friends with her. And she says, I have a feeling about you. I got to get you out of the art world and into astrology full time because I just have a feeling that's what you're meant to be. And I love the art and everything, and I love working with you, but this is a bigger role for you. And she gets me a place on Time Warner's website, and Astrology Zone is born. That's how I got my start.
Well, I need to thank her then because I really love that site.
My mom was part of it. If you know your chart, you can see what careers are best for you. And this is very good for people to know in times of stress like this. Like, what areas are good for me? Where is my talent? I love looking for talent in a chart. And when I was little, I was about 8 years old, I said, Mama, what will I be when I grow up? She said, well, Susan, she's looking at my chart, you're going to write in the beginning. Oh, no, I don't think so. I'm going to write. I don't think that's what I'm going to do. Oh, yes, I don't know what you're going to write about, but you're going to be writing. We better work on your English skills. She's a Gemini, so she says, this is going to be important. She said, but then when you get a little older, when you reach 40, some newly invented form of communication, so new we don't know the name of it yet, will change the way you work and be the way you make your ultimate contribution to the world. I will never forget her saying that. Well, she used to talk to me a lot when I was little, like 5 and 6 and 7. Like, we always have to find out how we can contribute to the world. She would sit on the floor and talk to me about these things, and I would be fascinated. I would love these ideas. And so I said, wait a minute, Mommy. How can you say that there's a new way of communication, a new form, but it's not here yet, so it's invisible? How can you see something that's invisible on that piece of paper? She says, Susan, you have Aquarius on the midheaven. Aquarius is what comes next. It is what is invented next. I drove her crazy. She said, it seems to run on electricity or airwaves.